Good morning, church family. How's everyone doing? Ooh, how's everybody doing? Good. It is a joy seeing each and every one of you all with us. Those online, welcome to the church at Woodbine. Today is a little different, and it's not just because we had baptisms. And I'm sweating just in the jacuzzi, then changing clothes and come back. I'm sweating but anyway. But today is what we call Vision Sunday. And actually, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to focus on the vision and mission of our church. And if you're new here, or if you really don't know a whole lot about the church at Woodbine, we're part of Brentwood Baptist Church. There are 8 campuses. And once a year, our senior pastor, Mike Glenn, will be preaching a sermon, and we're going to watch it here online. And so that is who we're going to hear today. And then after he's done, I'm going to get up and preach about an hour sermon to kind of wrap up everything he preached on today and how does it apply for us. Okay, is that good? So good. So just prepare. No, I'm totally teasing. No, but when he is done, I will come up and wrap it up. But before Mike preaches, for those of you who are part of our family, we are in a capital campaign we call Pursue. And at the beginning of this calendar year, we spent a whole lot of time about our Pursue campaign. And if you remember, it's $30 million, and there's 3 buckets. There is the purchase and renovation of a church building to be a permanent home for the church at Avenue South. There's the renovation of the Brentwood campus and a big section of their sanctuary. And then also the third bucket is what we call multiplying congregations, healthy congregations, 100 congregations. Not necessarily 100 regional campuses of Brentwood Baptist, but how can we partner with existing churches, new church plants here in Middle Tennessee and beyond? And so that is our Pursue campaign. I know many of you have committed to it, have given to it. Thank you. And if you haven't, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord in that. But before Mike preaches, we'll have a beginning part of this video is an update on what is going on with our Pursue campaign and how things are going at AF South, the Brentwood campus, and then one of our new church plants. So I want to introduce you to Mike Glenn, our senior pastor.
We've been with AF South now at the campus for about 8 years and on the lunch team for about a year prior to that.
We bought a house in Wedgwood, Houston, about 2 miles away from our current campus location. And we just felt really convicted at that time to live our lives locally and serve those around us. And having a church so close and having ministry opportunities so close through that church was really what we were looking for at the time, and something we're still excited about to this day. Pouring into the lives of the people that are physically located near us and around us. When we started our life group, it was primarily with neighbors, folks that could walk from our neighborhood. We met at our house. Now, as the years have come and gone over 4 years now, our group looks a little different today. We meet at our campus. As that's evolved, we feel like our mission has been the same, to pour into those that are around us.
When we launched the 8th Avenue campus, we had the opportunity to write scripture on the floors and the walls. I wrote to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. It's just proven to be true. At church this past Sunday, there was not room for people to come sit by the time church started. So it just shows that God has done his will with our church, and he will continue to grow our church.
When we first got in the launch team and we were talking about how to be successful as a regional campus, we talked about our calling to be good neighbors and to love those that are immediately around us. And I feel like we've done that well at our current campus. And our goal moving forward is to continue that tradition in our new location for the new opportunities that God has in store for us.
Station Hill has been praying through, where do we go next? What makes the most sense? The Lord has said there's a need in Columbia. There are people that need experience with real community, safe community, and with the gospel. And we don't have to know everything that's coming. We're trying to be faithful with that one thing that the Lord's asked us to do today. And so planting a church out of a Station Hill in Columbia was the next right step.
Our life has sort of been moving in a Columbia direction from Spring Hill for a while now. And so I get the sense from people I've interacted with that there's a lot of excitement about what God is doing.
There is this aspect that people are like, oh, finally, we've been talking about this for so long. We're so excited that it's actually starting to happen, or that we're seeing some fruit from the prayers that have been prayed, you know, for the last several years. I think there have been relationships building for a long time. So the excitement is has been kind of a groundswell for a while.
We felt led of the Lord to lead a small group, and we've only been meeting for a little over a month now. Mm-hmm. And we've got more people than I anticipated us having in 6 months of growth in a month. It's really thrilling to be a part and to experience unanticipated good problems. It is evident that the Lord is involved in this, that the Lord is watching over this, that this labor is not in vain. It makes me want to look for ways to serve and obey wherever I can because I know He's involved in this.
Hey, church family, Travis Cottrell at the Brentwood campus here. I just walked through the renovation, the new atrium, where so much ministry is going to take place. We're so excited to move back into this space. We're having such a beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. I thought it'd be a great day to give you a sneak peek. So come on, let's go look. Okay, so here we are in the room. It's been a minute since you've seen it, right? You know all the things about a renovation. We've got beautiful new carpet. We painted the wall just this week. We've got seating going in right now above us. But let me tell you what I'm really excited about. I'm excited to be in this room with you, with my church family, with our community. Excited to hear from God. Excited to worship God. There are going to be decades and decades of amazing ministry taking place right here in this room, and I can't wait to get started. Come up here. I want to show you the view from here. Okay, now don't get me wrong. I have loved our time together at Hudson Hall. I think we've learned again how we love to be close. We love community. We love fellowship. And we've seen people in the halls over at Hudson Hall that we haven't seen in years here. But I'm excited to bring that intimacy into this room with our choir and our orchestra and all of our people. Our best days are ahead of us, and I hope you are as excited as I am to be worshiping back here together again. One more spot I want to show you. I'm so excited about this. Come on. All right, I'm really excited to show this to you right here. This is our new baptismal. We're so excited. They just put it in this week. Can't wait to see hundreds and thousands of people be baptized right here. We love it down here because friends and family and small group and community, people that love these people that are being baptized, can be right here beside them as they are following the Lord in baptism. I'm so excited about it. Now today, we're so happy to have our senior pastor, Mike Glenn. He's going to come and give us vision for the days to come. Mike.
Thanks, Travis. I am honored again as a senior pastor of Brentwood Baptist Church to be with you on this Vision Sunday, when we talk about all that God is laying out in front of us. And one of the things we need to do for just a few seconds is to celebrate all the things that God has done in our past. We are now a church of 8 campuses. We're celebrating Avenue South moving into a permanent location that is their building, their facility. And how exciting that is. You know, Aaron and I were talking the other day, and each time we have had to do something at Avenue South that involved property, finding the property for the original location, finding a permanent facility, both times we were told by all of the, quote, experts that there was no property available, that we would never find it. Both times, God answered in ways that, well, if we had known that property was available, we probably wouldn't have had the faith to pray for it. That's how overwhelming and unexpected God's answers have been. So we are excited about what God is doing in the sanctuary of Brentwood Baptist Church, what He's doing in Columbia through our campus at Station Hill. On and on the list goes. But if I get to celebrating all of that, I forget to tell you what's ahead. You know, Nashville is an incredible place to live, this area in Middle Tennessee that we call home. And it is known for a place where dreams come true. You know the story. Somebody in some little small town somewhere in America starts strumming a guitar, playing a piano, putting a few words together that rhyme, and all of a sudden they get this itch that they want to be a star. So they come to Nashville. They bum around in various clubs and singing in churches anywhere where they can get the opportunity until somebody hears them. Somebody sees them and a spark goes off. Hey, if we did this, this person could be a star. If we put this kind of band behind her, she could go far. And over the next 7 or 8 years, we suddenly find out about the next overnight sensation. It's interesting how long it takes to be an overnight hit in Nashville. But for all of those dreams that come true, there are 10, 50, hundreds that don't. Nashville is a city with a lot of heartache. Middle Tennessee is a region with a lot of brokenness. We try to ignore it. We try to make sure it happens on the other side of town, that it happens somewhere else, but you can't stay away from it. Sooner or later, the headlines get a little too close. The news gets personal. You wonder how it got this messed up. You wonder how it got this bad. And if you'll allow it, your heart will break. Now, most of us don't have the courage to walk through that process of letting our heart break. But I want to remind you as we get together today that every major movement of God started when somebody's heart broke. I know. That's a weird vision sermon, isn't it? I'm not going to be pointing out any new programs. I'm not going to be talking about any new buildings. I'm going to be asking you this question. Do you love Middle Tennessee enough? Do you love the people who make up our communities enough to let your heart break for them? Every great movement starts with the people of God becoming brokenhearted. It's Nehemiah that tells us this. There are several stories that have to do with the people of God and their breaking hearts. And we're going to be focusing on them over the next few weeks. The first one we're going to talk about is Nehemiah. It's the very first chapter of his book. Nehemiah is serving as the cupbearer to the king when his brother from Jerusalem comes to see him. Nehemiah is in exile. His brother tells him that Jerusalem is not doing well. This is Nehemiah's response, verse 4. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for a number of days, fasting and praying before the Lord of heavens. And here is what I said. Lord God of the heavens, the great and awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commands. Let your eyes be open and your ears be attentive to hear your servant's prayer that I now pray to you day and night for your servants, the Israelites. I confess the sins we have committed against you. Both I and my father's family have sinned. We have acted corruptly toward you and have not kept the commands, the statutes, or ordinances you gave your servant Moses. Please remember what you commanded your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, you will scatter. I will scatter you among the peoples, but if you return to me and carefully observe my commands, even though your exiles were banished to the furthest horizons, I will gather them from there and bring them to a place where I chose to have my name dwell. They are your servants, your people. You redeemed them by your great power and strong hand. Please, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to that of your servants who delight to revere your name. Give your servant success today. Grant him compassion in the presence of this man, the king. Now, at this time, I was the cupbearer to the king. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. Babylon had an interesting theory of how they handled the countries that they overran. What they would do is they would pretty much destroy the country that they were attacking. And then they would take the best and the brightest of that country and they would take them back to Babylon. They would train them. They would train them to become bureaucrats in the Babylonian Empire. And they would send them out into the other parts of the empire, most of the time away from their own homes, to serve the king and his empire. That's how Daniel and his friends got to Babylon. They were some of the best and brightest of Jerusalem. And so they were taken in exile. This exile almost destroyed Judaism. Not only did Israel and Jerusalem have a hard time understanding that God would allow his city, the city of David, to be overrun and destroyed, the temple burned. They gave up hope. Later we find out when the people returned to Jerusalem, a lot of them could not even speak their native tongue. The only thing they knew was Babylonian language. They lost their story. They lost their history. They almost lost everything. Now, Nehemiah had been assigned to serve the king. He was a trusted advisor and servant of the king as a cupbearer of the king. It was his job to make sure, well, that the king didn't get poisoned. Nehemiah's brother comes from Jerusalem. Nehemiah asks, how are the folks back home? And his brother tells him, the wall is torn down, the gates have been burned, the people are scattered. And it breaks Nehemiah's heart. Not only is he sad, he's almost unable to move. He talks about praying for days, fasting for days. He is so broken by what he hears his people are going through that he literally doesn't know what to do. But he makes his mind up. I'm going to bring this up to the king. Somehow I'm going to ask for the king's favor to go back to Jerusalem and restore what has been lost. So he prays. What we're going through, O Lord, we deserve. We didn't keep your promises. We didn't keep your commandments. What you have done to us by pulling us into exile, we deserve. But you also promised that you wouldn't leave us to despair. That if we returned to you, you would take us back home. And that's what I'm praying for now, Nehemiah says. But I need the help of the king. Will you allow favor? Will you allow him to hear me? Conversation in the next chapter takes place. The king actually brings it up. Why are you so sad, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah tells him about Jerusalem. And the king then asks, what do you want? Not only does the king let Nehemiah go back, he gives him letters of protection. Not only does he give him letters of protection and let him go back, he also provides the materials to rebuild Jerusalem. You see, Nehemiah was the cupbearer. All of us are still trying to recover from COVID. My recent sabbatical, only thing I did was drive up and down I-65, hearing about what was going on in Middle Tennessee. Most of the churches in Middle Tennessee are somewhere around half attendance now in person. Maybe 75%. Nobody is at full capacity. Nobody is back to their pre-COVID numbers. In fact, Most of us are beginning to understand that it will be a long time, if ever, that some of these churches ever return to pre-COVID numbers. In the meantime, our world hasn't remained still. Things have happened. We were quarantined. A lot of us had to face long months of solitude. And for some of us, it was more than we could take. The incidences of mental health crisis went through the roof. Drug addiction went through the roof. Suicides went through the roof. In one of the conversations I had, I talked with the mayor of Franklin. You know what he talked about? He didn't talk about infrastructure. He didn't talk about new roads. He didn't talk about taxes. He talked about the number of people in Williamson County who commit suicide. Williamson County has one of the highest suicide rates in the state of Tennessee. The main demographic of that is men 45 to 55 years old. Men 45 to 55 years old, men who should be in the prime of their life, wake up one morning and can't find a reason to go on. Does that break your heart? Does it break your heart with the number of young adults who struggle with anxiety and depression? Does it break your heart the number of families that are struggling, marriages that are struggling to stay together because the economic pressure, the financial pressure, pressure of jobs and whether or not we'll have the job is straining the marriage. Kids that are falling behind in school and struggling to catch up. The number of people who are lost. I know that's an old church term. When I was growing up, you'd hear the pastor talk all the time about people who are lost, about your lost neighbors and your lost friends. Have you ever been lost? I mean, really lost. I've got Google now, and so I've got Google Maps, and I just call it up on my phone. I'm never lost anymore. Well, you know, there's some places where Google can't even find you. Ever been lost? Not knowing where you are, not knowing how you got there, and not knowing how to get back. Yeah. So you're supposed to meet a friend for dinner, and you can't find the place, so you call them and say, hey, I'm lost. What did your friend say? Where are you? Well, if I knew that, I wouldn't be lost. Does it break your heart the number of your neighbors who do not know who they are? They don't know why they are. Are you willing to walk up and down the streets of your own neighborhood and understand the hurt that's behind every door? And let your heart break. You see, every great movement of God starts when His people have their heart broken. There's something about that brokenness, that opening that allows God to enter our world. Like I told you, this is a strange vision sermon. I'm not going to introduce any new programs. I'm not going to talk to you about any new facilities. Here's what we found out in COVID. About 80% of what we do as a church makes no difference. There are a handful of things that we do that make an impact on your life and your family. Worship is one of those. Your group is one of those. Bible study is one of those. A ministry or mission that engages your community, that brings up gospel conversations, all of that founded on prayer. That's what we have found out really matters. And that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to begin to pray the way Nehemiah prayed for his neighborhood, for his city. Pray for Columbia. Pray for Spring Hill. Pray for Thompson Station. Pray for Brentwood. Pray for Franklin. Pray for Nolensville. Pray for Nashville. Pray for Smyrna. Pray for all of those cities in the middle Tennessee area. I want you to pray for them. Now, I don't want you now to lay me down. Now, lay me down to sleep, Lord. Bless Nashville. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about walking through your neighborhood and allowing your heart to be broken. Getting together with your group and together talking about, you know, this should not be this way in our city. There shouldn't be foster children or children in a foster care system that don't have a place to sleep at night. There shouldn't be this many children waiting for an adoptive family. There shouldn't be this many people in Middle Tennessee who are lonely. What are you going to do? Who has a gift? Who has a passion that you're going to pray and say, here's what we're going to do? Because you see, that's where the story ended. When Nehemiah remembered, I am a cupbearer to the king. Yes, I know what's going on in Jerusalem, and I know how bad it is. I know what God has done, but yet I know what God will do. And where's it going to start? It starts because Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. Where has God put you? Where has God placed you that you will have the platform, the open door, the opportunity to rebuild your community? Yeah, I know. It's a weird vision sermon. But we're in a weird time. And the healing starts when the people of God have their heart broken. The healing starts when the people of God are willing to have their heart broken. Are you willing to walk with me in this coming year and allow God to break your heart for what breaks His? Here's your pastor now to talk to you about what this would mean in your community and on your campus.
There is a lot that we could unpack with just what Mike said and even this passage. And Richard, I don't see Mary, but like, could you tell her we have homework, the book of Nehemiah? Did you guys know that Nehemiah was the shortest of all the Old Testament prophets? Nehemiah. Bad pastor joke, right? Anyway, there's two things I want to stress, and some of you are just now getting that joke. Very good. What is breaking your heart, and what is God doing about it for your response? That's question one. The second one is, let's celebrate what God is doing. I've said this in the past. I want to encourage you guys each and every day before you go to bed to think of 10 things that you are thankful for today. 10. If you're married, share it with your spouse before you go to bed. If you're single, just share it with Jesus or your housemate or your roommate. But what are 10 things that you are thankful for today? If you struggle, well, do what I do. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now all you have to do is think of 7. God is always working in and around us. How? Ask Him to open your eyes. Something else that God is doing in our midst as a church family that we can celebrate are the 3 baptisms today. 1 adult and 2 kids, it's amazing. It's awesome. Last week, and this is another celebration, Lauren sent me a picture last week of the children of the Sunday school class downstairs. She said, we have 15 kids down here. I counted up at least four countries represented. Here's a picture of it. Four of her most faithful kids weren't even there. 8 years ago, Donna Keel, she and her husband migrated from Brentwood right after the merge or right before the merge. There was no children's ministry. And she told the leadership of Brentwood, I will have a lesson plan ready every single week. Week in, week out, month in, month out, no children. Our church has gone up and down in size and numbers, but you ask any of our legacy members, what is one of the things that they praise Jesus for? And they say, hearing little kids and babies running around the sanctuary. Miss Helen, is that not right? That's exactly right. That's something else we can celebrate, what Jesus is doing in our kids' ministry and day camp this past year, everything. MDU, just a couple weeks ago, sharing the gospel with over 20 people, one of those people getting saved. Something else I want to highlight as well is this. Last Tuesday in our staff meeting, every other week we have our full staff meeting where begin a new staff will be there, Project Connect staff will be there, and we're like almost 15 people. We also had a representative from Witz Elementary School with us. They're our ministry partners. And Shane Hitchcock, the begin a new director, he told us, do not invite any new people to the ESL 1 class. We are full. Full. If you have a heart for the nations, if you have a heart for the Middle Tennessee Initiative, and if you're listening online, I challenge you to come to Woodbine, where we can serve the nations in our own backyard. If you would like to get involved in how to help serve with our ESL programs, our HISET, which is what we used to be called the GED, you can call our church office. We'll get you in touch with Shane. Incredible ways to serve our community. Something else, and this is my favorite, but I'm very biased. We have 10 missionary family units on the field right now. Technically, one family just moved back to the States last month, but I'm still counting them because it will take them almost 2 years to reacclimate to this culture. The sacrifices they make. I counted up, that's 30 people on the mission field right now from Woodbine. 30. We're a church of about 150 people. Here on any given Sunday, it's 110 to 120 people plus those online. 20% of our congregation are overseas. Every last one of those adults used to be an intern here, a small group leader, a focused Bible study leader, a worship leader. When 10 families leave, we know what it feels like. It hurts to say goodbye. 5 of those 10 families are in unreached people group countries. There are 2.5 billion people who've never heard the name of Jesus. And here in Nashville, there's a church on every corner. To put it in perspective, saying that 30 Woodbiners are overseas serving Jesus, proclaiming Jesus, that would be the same as saying 750 people from the Brentwood campus are living overseas as missionaries. It sometimes can be a challenge looking at some of the renovations and to ask, well, what about us? But I'll tell you this, if we weren't part of the Brentwood family, we would not be able to send 30 people overseas. It's an incredible privilege we have to not only have this campus parked in one of the most multicultural neighborhoods in the whole city, but to be part of a church family where we can send people all over the world, not just for a week, not just for a month, but for years. And we rejoice at that sacrifice that they make. Right, Mary? You got homework, by the way. Richard will tell you after church, okay? That's another thing to celebrate. Think about it. 20% of our congregation is overseas, sharing the gospel Some of them, half of them, have to use code names. They can't use their real name. You read their pictures and see their names up there. That's not their real name for half of them. They can't share it because of the life risk. We're getting ready to send Andre Hegel overseas for about 15 weeks. That'll make 11 for this year. We give our best away and it hurts, but it's a joyful sacrifice. 10 things tonight before you go to bed. What are you thankful for? How can you celebrate what God is doing in your life? The second thing is this, and I'll be very brief. What is breaking your heart? What breaks your heart? I've watched Mike's sermon 3 or 4 times this week. And I'll confess, my heart does not break for Middle Tennessee. I confess it to you as my sin, as your pastor. My heart breaks for Mexico. But it doesn't break for Middle Tennessee. And God is challenging me, Doug, why? When I read about Nehemiah, Nehemiah was a Jew. But he was born and raised in Babylon. He was raised as the cupbearer to the king. So Nehemiah is a high official. He's never stepped foot in his home country, so to speak. But he knows the history. He knows that his people were destroyed in exile because of their unfaithfulness. And when one of his brothers comes back, like Mike shared with us, he asks, so how's our home? And his brother's like, the temple's destroyed. The walls are destroyed. It's an utter chaos. And we saw it in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 11. It says, for days he wept and he prayed and he fasted. Our hearts need to be broken for what God's heart is broken for. And we've got to focus and pursue and press into Jesus. You see, when we worship, and why Mike has called us to worship in prayer, is because when our eyes are fixed upon Jesus in worship and in prayer and in humility, because fasting is a symbol of humility. And when we seek Jesus' face, he gives us his heart for his world. So I want to invite the worship team to come up. And this is my closing challenge for all of us. The first one I've highlighted. It's a celebration. But my question, and let's all stand right now. And just in the spirit of prayer and of worship, as we worship, I'll be down here if you need prayer. I would love to pray with you. Johnny will be down here at Next Steps. If you have questions just about membership or baptism, why do we dunk people? Why does Doug hold them down till they really repent? No, but in all seriousness, why baptism? Who is this Jesus you're talking about? Johnny would love to talk to you about that. But my question for all of us today is this. How is the Lord speaking to you today? How has the Lord spoken to you today? The second question is this. What is breaking your heart? And how is God working in you to respond? Let's ponder these two questions. Let's take them to the Lord and let's worship Jesus because he's worthy.